From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Not long ago, I saw a viral tweet that showed a meteorologist from French TV named Evelyne Deliat, who a few years back did a weather forecast for August of 2050.
Madame, monsieur, bonsoir. Encore de fortes chaleurs en ce 17 août 2050 avec un soleil de plomb.
The idea was to educate people in France about what could happen if climate change is not addressed. Her forecast was remarkably prescient. It just came 28 years earlier than predicted, because basically it describes the record-breaking temperatures that have been seen in France this summer. And as you've no doubt experienced yourself, we have had a couple of weeks of unseasonably extreme heat here in Illinois.
Look at Wrigley Field. It's 101 right now. Lincoln Park, United Center, all at 101 degrees.
Zoo animals hoping to stay cool Tuesday as heat indexes exceed 100 degrees in central Illinois.
It's hot out here. It definitely takes you got to be out here for a while to get used to it. And even then, you're still struggling.
This is going to be our new reality. Strike that. This is our new reality on our warming planet. In fact, parts of central and western Illinois are going to, quote, experience the greatest increase in extreme temperatures in the nation. That was the conclusion of an analysis by the climate intelligence firm 427 and the credit rating agency Moody's. It was first published almost 3 years back in 2019. I've been a full-time journalist for 17 years, and this report has stuck with me like few other things I've covered. Careful listeners might remember me mentioning it once or twice or an endless number of times in the past few years.
About a year ago, Moody's Investors Service issued a report projecting that the greatest rise in extreme temperatures among U.S. counties will occur in large parts of the Midwest.
But last year, Moody's Investors Service and the climate research group 427 issued a report. This is in the context. There was a Moody's report that came out about a year and a half ago that I'm not exactly sure why this has stuck with me. Probably it has something to do with the map of the United States, and there in the middle of the country is the county where I live, in the darkest red spot on this map. This is climate change not in the Maldives or Miami. This is right here in our home state. Parts of Iowa and most of Missouri is also included on this map. As I was sweating through one of our recent extreme heat days and thinking about this report showing this is basically our new normal, I remembered I did an interview with an analyst from Moody's around the time the report was first published. This was back when I was a State House reporter before I was hosting the 21st show, and for whatever reason, I never actually ended up using the interview. But given the heat wave, and since this analysis has been so important to my own thinking about how we're going to endure climate change locally, I thought it was worth finally airing that interview. I spoke with the lead author of the report.
My name is Ryan Patton, and I'm an analyst with Moody's Investors Service.
Before we get into this conversation, it's important to remember why Moody's does what it does. They assess the ability of institutions to repay their debt, in this case, local governments in heat-stressed areas, in order to help investors decide if the bonds of those institutions are good investments. I think that makes this report all the more interesting. These are not people with a liberal agenda or really any ideological agenda. They're operating on behalf of people who have money on the line. So, getting into the conversation, I began by asking Ryan why Moody's decided to look into climate.
Yeah, it's a good question. And really, the first thing to say with regard to that is that, you know, rising temperatures, climate change in general, can present challenges to local governments, both financially and to the local economy. And that's really what we're concerned about when we're, you know, evaluating a rating for a particular government. What do their financial operations look like? What's the strength of the local economy? We know that the average temperatures are rising across the U.S., and with that, we also expect to see increases in the frequency and severity of extreme weather, including extreme heat, which we talk about in this report. And there's multiple channels through which that can affect local governments. Increasing extreme heat has the potential to reduce agricultural production, reduce labor productivity, increase costs for infrastructure, affect energy demand, and also really affect public health. So, you know, all of these things can affect operations, can affect the strength of the economy, and, you know, if they're material enough, they can lower the revenue for a local government, increase their expenses, potentially impair their assets, or increase the liabilities and debt of a local government.
You know, I'm interested at these phrases you're using: reduce agricultural production, decrease labor productivity. They sound a little technical. I wonder, I think agricultural production, we can imagine, as we've seen this year, that a lot of farmers, particularly in Illinois and other states where there was a lot of rain in the spring, have had kind of a hard time, and their production is expected to be quite a bit lower this year. But what does it mean, decrease labor productivity? Are these, it's too hot to do road construction, that sort of thing? Or what does this look like on the ground?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, one of the metrics that you would look at for labor productivity is particularly places that have a high percentage of, you know, say, outdoor workers, where they're, you know, perhaps doing a lot of agriculture or construction. And, you know, just the effects of heat tend to slow things down and can have effects on public health as well.
Help me understand the next step then. How does decreased labor productivity and decreased agricultural production put strain on local governments?
So again, it's through multiple channels, but for those in particular, we're thinking about the strength of the local economy, and that's something that we look at when we do a rating for a local government. You know, what's the size of the tax base? What are resident income levels like? How do employment levels stack up? Because these are the things that generate revenue for a local government. So to the extent that you have a strong local economy that's diverse, then it better equips a local government to manage any kind of disruption in the local economy and provide more consistent revenues.
So there's a fascinating map in the middle of your report, and it's most of the United States, out west, the Northeast, are this sort of very gentle salmon color, I would call it. And as you get towards the center of the country, I wonder if you can just describe for me what is happening on this map as the color gets kind of darker and angrier.
Yeah, so it does tend to look like a bullseye over most of Missouri and western Illinois and sort of the southeast corner of Iowa. And this is our map of heat stress, projected heat stress. The reason it looks the way it does, I should say, is that it's really focused on relative changes. So the concept that we're measuring here is to what extent a particular county is going to be exposed to projected future increases in extreme heat. And the reason we're looking at that as a percentage change is because these are the places that are going to be the least acclimated to the increases in extreme heat. Or in other words, they're the places that are, you know, most likely to experience the greatest disruption in everyday life from those changes. If you go out from this sort of bullseye in Missouri, either to the north or the south, it tends to moderate. And of course, in the south, you're going to continue to see, in general, higher daily temperatures in the south. But the changes, and I should say that these are changes in a projected period of, you know, the 2030 to 2040 decade. So in the future, but not terribly far into the future, 10 to 20 years out, they're going to continue to experience higher temperatures in the south, but will generally be more acclimated than some of these places in the Midwest.
So does that mean because it's already hot in the south, it's already hot in Texas and Nevada and Arizona, that the change won't be felt as much by people, or the crops that they plant in those areas are more, how do I say, resistant to the heat or less heat sensitive?
Yeah. I mean, precisely all of those things. And, you know, when it comes to populations, people tend to get acclimated to a certain level of heat. The infrastructure is better designed to handle it. In general, the way that, you know, life might be structured is more acclimated to experiencing high temperatures. The one exception here on the map is, as you go down, as you see Florida and South Florida are also projected to have very high heat levels. And that's really due to just the sheer number of additional extreme heat days that they're projected to experience.
Let me just take a moment to remind listeners, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we're listening back to an interview I conducted back in 2019 with Ryan Patton, who's an analyst for Moody's Investors Service. And this was about a report that they had published on areas of the Midwest, particularly Missouri and western Illinois. We're going to experience the greatest rise in extreme temperatures among U.S. counties. They were looking at this in the context of municipal debt. That's what Moody's does. This is a report that stuck with me since I first encountered it in 2019, which again is when I first recorded this interview. I never actually ended up broadcasting or using this interview for anything, so I thought, given the heat wave, or rather the multiple heat waves we've experienced this summer, I thought it was worth revisiting it again today.
Can you talk a little bit about the methodology? How do you know this? Or why do you think Western Illinois and Missouri are going to be the center of the most heat-stressed places in the country?
Sure. Let me just say, in general, you know, Moody's has been interested in the effects of climate change on local governments and have recently made some enhancements to our data. Moody's acquired a climate analytics firm, 427, earlier this year. And so much of this data actually comes from 427. And the particular index here for heat stress, I'll just say, you know, a bit more about that. So that what they do is they use climate models similar to what the National Climate Assessment would use. They use an ensemble of climate models to make projections between a historical period of 1975 to 2005 and then a projected period of 2030 to 2040. So that's the basis for it. And then they take those model outputs and downscale them so that they can see what's going on at the county level. When we're talking about heat stress in particular, this is an index that, like I mentioned, is really designed to capture this idea of relative changes and who's going to be most affected. And so the metric for heat stress includes a combination of factors, one being additional number of extreme heat days between that base period and the projected period, the percentage change in the annual maximum temperature, and then increases in energy demand as well. And that's measured through a metric called cooling degree days.
So what is there a definition of an extreme heat day, or what is an extreme heat day in your view, or in the context of this report?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. It's location specific. So an extreme heat day is, again, we were talking about comparisons between the baseline period and the projected period. So an extreme heat day is a day where the average temperature for a particular location was over the 90th percentile for that period. So an extreme heat day is going to look different in Illinois than it does in Florida in this model. But again, it gets to that concept of, you know, what level of heat are you acclimated to? An extreme heat day for a particular location during the year. So say that, I'm just going to make this up, but say that you have a city in Illinois where the 90th percentile day has a temperature of 90 degrees. And so anything above 90 degrees for that particular city would be considered an extreme heat day. And so the calculation that's being made is that when we look at the projections, how many of those days over 90 degrees are occurring in the projected period? And how does that compare to how many days above 90 degrees were in the baseline period?
Okay. I think that makes sense. I'm going to have to think about that a little more. the last thing I want to ask is, you know, the climate has become, for better or worse, in America, a politicized issue. I wonder, do you ever get pushback on this, given that it is a contentious political issue? Or is it, has your firm taken the position that this is beyond politics now, or outside of that?
I do want to be careful here, but the thing I can say that we point to is that some of these changes, whether they're related to man-made climate change or not, we are seeing an increase in the frequency and severity of extreme weather events for some locations more than others, but certainly in general across the country. And so that being the case, it is something that we have to take into account.
Is there anything about this that I haven't asked you about? I got to say, Ryan, you're based in Chicago, you said. I'm based in Springfield here in central Illinois. We're both in sort of the darker orange spectrum of this map. Does this bum you out? It kind of bummed me out.
Well, let me just say, in general, the other piece of our report is sort of the question of how does this exposure to increasing heat, you know, affect credit quality? Because at the end of the day, that is what we're concerned about. But the point I want to make there is that when it comes to, you know, assessing the credit quality overall, any kind of risk, including exposure to extreme heat or climate risks, is always going to be weighed against a local government's strengths. And the good news is that local governments generally are pretty well equipped to handle environmental risk. Most benefit from, you know, stable property tax revenue. In the case that there is some kind of emergency, there's access to state and federal tools, including FEMA, to aid in the recovery from natural disasters. And for those local governments in the Midwest in particular, you know, where we are seeing that exposure to extreme heat is high, you know, at least among the local governments that we rate, they tend to have fairly strong financial resources. Fund balances and cash balances tend to be a bit stronger than the rest of the nation. And it's a good signal for credit quality because it indicates that, you know, there's some good capacity to withstand some revenue loss or pay for unexpected costs.
All right, you very artfully dodged my personal question about your reaction to this. That's okay. Well, I appreciate your making time to speak with me today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Ryan Patton is an analyst at Moody's Investors Service based in Illinois. I recorded this interview in 2019. Coming up, the COVID-19 pandemic has left many of us with painful memories, whether from loss of a loved one or the loss of social connection amid years of precautions. We'll talk with a researcher on memory who says, for most of us, those painful memories will begin to pass. Stay with us.